Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day. It's a gift from you. And Father, we need to hear from you. We are your people, and we believe you hold the words of eternal life. So we ask that we would have soft hearts, receptive for what you have for us. And we're grateful that we have one name, and that his name is Jesus Christ. So speak to us today in our hour of need and our place in our lives. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. So I want to begin by telling you a little bit of a story, and it might be something that is a little bit crazy, a little bit scary. It happened to me, well, in essence, it didn't happen to me. It happened to someone else, and I was present. It was in the summer of 1999. It was after my freshman year of college, and I was traveling around with a group of college-age students and young adults, and we were working a series of camps called Summer's Best 2 Weeks. We weren't at the Summer's Best 2 Weeks camp in Pennsylvania, but we were doing it at different churches. And in Virginia Beach, we would take some kids down to a pool, and it was a particular pool that was a dive pool. It went down about 15, 20 feet deep. And so we'd play games in there, and they had this big balloon floating to the top with a rope and a 50-pound weight at the bottom. And so all the kids had gotten out of the pool one day, and it was just the leaders left. We were cleaning up, wrapping up, getting out. And there was this big, strong guy named David Brock from Falls Church. And David was huge. He was a college football player, middle linebacker, an absolute beast of a human being. And I was smaller then, so I wasn't near his size. And he thought he'd be able to pull up this 50-pound weight out of the pool. And so he tried to do it. Myself and a high school student who was 16, and it was his very first day lifeguarding, we were there. And we were getting dressed outside the pool, kind of watching, kind of not watching David try to pull this up. And about 30 seconds, 45 seconds after David had gone in, we're like, hey, you'd think he would have come up by now. Take a closer look. I brought this to the attention of the lifeguard. And he's like, I'm going to go in and check on him. So he quickly threw off his shirt and his shoes, and he dove in the water. And I was taking off my shirt and shoes because I wanted to be ready for what he was going to come up and tell me. He popped out of the water, and he said, Tommy, I need help. Immediately, I dove into the water. David was unconscious, just floating there. Put my arm up under his left arm and around his collar. And the lifeguard was pulling his right wrist up. We didn't know it at the time, but another individual had seen it, another leader, had jumped in and was pushing up on the gentleman's rear end, trying to get him out of the water. I cannot tell you the amount of panic and fear in that moment. I thought this guy was going to die. And here I am, I was with him. This was a moment between death and life. One of the scariest moments I've ever been a part of. But there were only two possible outcomes. He was going to live or he was going to die. Well, the great news is that he lived. Okay, we got him out of the water. There's more to that story. There are some amazing things that happened. But he lived. We're so grateful for that. And the thing is, when we have ever encountered an incident like that where there's something where you almost had a near miss and an accident and your life flashed before your eyes, or you've been part of an intense situation, whether personally or part of it and heard about it from someone else, is that we all react differently in those scenarios. Some of us, we get tuned in through all our senses, and it's so easy to catch it. It's an intense moment. But some of us are fearful and don't know how to act. Some of us dive in not knowing what how to do and try to figure it out. And others of us have been trained and know how to walk through that whole process and situation. Maybe you've been a firefighter, an EMT, or a lifeguard. Thankfully, the lifeguard knew CPR and rescue breathing, you know, so he was able to do that and help David, right? But the thing is, we can see those situations clearly for what they are. It's easy. But the other aspect is, I think there are things that are more dangerous than that. Things that can be even more impactful in our lives, and we're not even remotely aware of them at times. If you would open up your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30 with me. We're going to look at that in chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's going to be up on the screen here. And read along with me here. This is Moses speaking. He says, "Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to go and ask, 'Who will ascend to heaven and get it and proclaim it to us that we may obey it?' Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, 'Who will cross the sea and get it and proclaim it so that we may obey it?' No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today in life prosperity, death, and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Life and prosperity versus death and destruction, right? Those are the two things that are presented before us right then. I think if we're honest, there's a point where we begin to make a disconnect at times. See, that seems like an easy choice, life and prosperity, especially for a person that's a follower of Jesus Christ. I want life. But we can probably remember a time where we didn't care or didn't believe that that was an option. But there's also this disconnect that comes in, and we think that things that leads towards death really don't lead towards death. It can be a little bit confusing. Let me give you an idea just real quick. The first thing I want to point out to you, though, is in verse 16, it says, "To love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, and to keep his commands." These are all things that lead to life. This is what he says, help give us life. They lead towards it. Verse 17, on the other hand, says, "If your hearts turn away, you are not obedient and drawn away and bow down before their gods, death follows." Right? It seems simple, but I think this is something basic, but it's also a deep truth that can be difficult to grab onto. See, I know for me that I think of all the big things that I should and should not do, right? I think that I should, you know, I know that I should remain sexually pure. I should not murder people. You know, I should tithe. I should probably not be, like, a huge jerk. Yeah, thanks for laughing, okay, because apparently you all know that I can be a jerk from time to time. Trust me, I know some of my coworkers definitely understand this, as those that know me very well. It's true. But what about some things that maybe seem more mundane, things that don't seem like a big deal, right? What if it's like every time when your parents say, "Hey, will you please take out the garbage right now?" And you're like, you know, whatever. Okay, what if it's, you know, copying your friend's homework, get it done? What if it's the absolute drudgery of the day in your work, the mundane things that really don't think they have any amount of spiritual influence, you know, in weight to them? What if it's the aspect, you know, of being at home and you feel ignored or unappreciated? Are these things actually significant? Do they carry weight to us? Are these matters of life and death? See, I think we put things on a scale and we minimize the importance of every event as they come up in our lives. Right? I know I do this. I weigh things and I think, well, that's much more important than this. And we all do this in different ways. Every single bit of obedience matters. We know that God desires us to obey him, And the enemy, Satan, does not want us to obey him. He is bent on that. Let me talk to you just a little bit more about that. I'm just going to reference a couple of verses here. And first, about Satan. John 8:44. Satan is a murderer. He is the father of lies. Okay? John 10:10 says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his character. That's his being. His character shows you his motives and his desires and what he wants to do to us. Whether you're a follower of Christ or not, he desires to do those things to each and every one of us. Kind of creepy. But that's his purpose. But God, on the other hand, he's this. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, gives this description of Jesus being the good shepherd, the one that protects his flock, the one that speaks to them. They know his voice. He gives his life for them. He offers life to the fullest. 1 John 4:10 says that he loves us. He says that he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the one that took them away, the one that took the penalty on our behalf. That's who he is. Stark contrast. Those are God's motives. He loves us and he cares for us. He treats us like we are his very own children. And the truth is, that's exactly what we are. Those are his motives. Let me just tell you something about me, though. And I stink at this. I am awful at this. Something that I tend to minimize and put down on a scale. And it's continually brought up in my attention. But you know what? In this past 2 weeks, it's hit me harder. And the bad part is that I've messed it up even more in some ways this week than I have at other times. I am not an organized person. I know this comes no shock to the youth. It comes no shock to coworkers. Mark has pointed this out to me a couple of times. Katie is the absolute antithesis of disorganization. She is clearly organized, right? And she's very gracious to me. But the fact of the matter is, I think it's something small because I scale it down and I say, look, I can get the work done and maybe get done late or, okay, maybe most of the work gets done, not entirely all of it, but the important stuff, as I view it, which is a lie, by the way, it's all important. I think that these things are small, and because they get done, it's okay. And the big fact is that if you look at it in the long run, these things are big things. They're little things that add up. They become a big mountain. The long-term potential effects for me is if I continually frustrate, you know, other people through my negligence, through my procrastination, that it can drive folks away, that they don't want to be a part, be around, that I could be left alone on an island in that. Maybe it's, you know, being too busy and putting too many things in. I look at them as small things, but the truth of the matter is they're larger than that. What's something for you that is that? Put it akin to this. I don't think an alcoholic who maybe has been driven apart from a family, maybe lost a job, ever says to themselves that they know exactly that point where this went wrong. But they may say, you know what, I could probably point to 50, 100, 500 events that continually added up and mounted upon themselves. And that's where this death and destruction in my life has come from. See, the key of the matter is that we are in the fight of our lives, whether we are willing to admit it or not. We are in a battle of death versus life. And we have an enemy who is hell-bent on destroying us and tearing us apart in every aspect of our lives. We've got to realize that we're in a fight against drowning. And we want to fight at it with everything that we have to preserve life. Here's the best part, though, because I don't want something to be confusing here in this. In verses 11 through 14, it says, now I'm commanding you today, Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend to heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea and get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and your heart so that you may obey it. This is first off something that's not too difficult for us. And the hope of God has come near to us. It has come near to us in the person of Jesus Christ. It is our hope, it is our security, it is our foundation. That if we believe in him and we have put our trust in him, we will never be put to shame. So that this battle of life and death is not up to us, but we are called to continue to pursue life, to run from the things that destroyed us, to embrace it. It's God's grace, his forgiveness, the new beginning that he promised us, the hope of life eternal. It's a promise that he's made and he showed that he is good on by conquering death. We have to choose death over life. And the fact of the matter is we're presented with that choice all the time. We just may not realize it. I gloss over it. I'm sure we all do. But here's the best part of it all. It says here at the end, now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give. I'd almost like to take one part and just phrase it this way. The Lord is your life. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. The Lord is your life. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. He's speaking life to us. And he desires to build us up in that.